good to be with you this evening. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read from the Bible and I'm going to talk to you about significance. Significance. Listen to this from Psalm 8. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. Significance. Let me give you some statistics, some of my favorite statistics. 24% of people wave with their left hand. The average Chinese person has their first kiss at the age of 23. Every year, 1 million trees are chopped down to make 44 million telephone directories. Okay, here is my favorite statistic ever. Right now in Britain, right at this moment in Britain, there are 540 million unused coat hangers. Incredible, isn't it? Think of it. Think of it. And together they weigh about 1,700 tons. 11 of the 12 men who were on the moon were Boy Scouts. And the average football fan thinks of football every 12 minutes. Statistics. You can prove anything with statistics. Every day, the internet, the television, the radio are flooded with statistics about our world and our society. That's easy for me to say, our society. Statistics about unemployment, statistics about the economy, statistics about how many people watch Downton Abbey. We are flooded with statistics. And I want to ask the question, what are you? What is your significance? Are you just a statistic, or are you something more? Are you just one of a number of people who watch the Olympics? Are you just one of a number of people who fit a certain group, a certain category? Are you a statistic, or are you something more? And how do you measure your significance anyway? Do you measure your significance by how many friends you have on Facebook? Do you measure it by how many friends will come to your funeral? Do you measure it by how many people know you locally? What are you worth? What is your statistic? One of 6.75 billion people on the planet. But what are you? What is your significance? We live in a big universe. Our solar system is part of a galaxy, the Milky Way. That's 587,000 trillion miles across. That's huge. That'll take you ages to get to. Much, much longer than it takes you to get from Newtown to Llandrindod via that road. It takes millions of years to get across. That's our galaxy. But then there's an estimated 1 million galaxies. The universe is huge. And compared to that, what are you? What am I? Just a blip? Just a statistic? Or something more? What is our significance? And you might say, well, that's pretty deep. That's pretty deep to think about. I'm just waiting for my pudding. I haven't come here to ask those kind of questions. And I would say, actually, a harvest supper is exactly the right kind of time to ask those kind of questions. At harvest, it's traditional to have a time of thanking God for the harvest that's been gathered in. And it makes me ask the question, why harvest at all? Why do people gather and sow and store and collect? What is it that makes us do it anyway? And when the harvest hasn't been so good, which I gather this year it hasn't been so good, why does that matter at all? Why do we do those things anyway? I'm a townie at heart, even though I live in a rural area, so I've just about worked out now that milk comes from cows, eggs come from chickens. I've also, this is my personal opinion, that Marmite comes from wasps. That hasn't been substantiated, but that's just what I think. But even as a townie, I can look on and know, well, everybody harvests, not just farmers. Everybody gathers and sorts. Everybody does it. Whether you're a computer engineer, whether you teach piano, whether you look after your children, we all work, we all gather, we all plan, we all harvest. And why do we do that? What is our significance? What makes us do those things? What are you about? And tonight I want to answer that question from the Bible. I'm going to say three things, and I'm going to gently push you, gently nudge you. This is not the hard sell, but I'm going to ask you to consider to take some big steps. So three truths from the Bible about our significance, and then some big steps. And the first thing I want to say is this. Only the Bible explains our significance. Only the Bible does that. Stephen Hawking, famous physicist, you might have seen him at the opening ceremony of the Paralympics. He said this, "We are such insignificant creatures on a minor planet, on a very average star in the outer suburbs of one of 1,000,000,000 galaxies. It's difficult to believe in a God who cares about us or even notices our existence." Now, I read from Psalm 8 at the start, and I think the guy who wrote Psalm 8 would say to Stephen Hawking, "You're exactly right. The universe is huge. What are we? When you look up at the night sky, what are we compared to that? It's hard to believe in a God. The God who made all of that must be so fantastically, gloriously big. It's hard to even imagine that he could notice us or even care about us. But according to the Bible, it's gloriously and wonderfully true. The one God who spoke everything into existence, handmade everything and handmade us, this psalm says, to rule over his creation for him. Your significance is absolutely incredible." Recently, over the last 25, 30 years, scientific theory gaining ground amongst scientists, it's called the anthropic principle, the man-centered principle, which is when you look at this world and all the different things that hold it together, the different forces that come into play, it seems to be engineered, designed for the emergence of human life. Everything is in the right balance for the emergence of humans. That's atheistic science. Just notice that there's this anthropic, man-centered principle. And when you can come to the Bible, you can understand that, because the Bible says, yes, this world was made by God for us. We are the pinnacle of his creation. I got married 6 years ago. There were two things that were in tears at my wedding. The first was my father-in-law. The second thing that was in tears, you know what's coming, was the wedding cake. Okay. Thank you very much for helping me out. And they made this incredible fruit cake. It had levels, one level, another level, and then the last bit on top. And then on top of the fruit cake, as the pinnacle crowning it, was the bride and the groom, the little statue. And when God made the world, he sorted everything out. He made everything in harmony together and placed you and me, the human race, on the top to take care of everything for him. We are more significant than we could ever dream, handmade by a loving creator God. And that explains harvest. It explains why people gather and sort. It explains why you feel a need to work and provide and care. Because God made you that way. God made us to rule and care for his creation as stewards of it. And actually, that explains you. You're not a random sack of chemicals. You're not some amoeba that crawled out of a bog millions of years ago. You're a handmade creation by a loving God. You're not an animal. You're not a machine. You're not an image. You're not defined by what clothes you wear, or I don't know how many tractors you possess, or what people think of you. You're defined by a God who made you and loves you. You're a significant creation of God. And you know, the Bible, it doesn't just explain what's wrong with the world. The Bible consistently explains all that's right with the world. It explains why you love listening to classical music. It explains why you love spending time with your family. It explains why you want to do the right thing. It explains why you think there must be something more, because you are a significant creation of God. You might be here tonight and say, well, okay, the food's been nice, I'm listening to what you're saying, but I'm a convinced atheist. Don't you know that everybody is these days? And I just want to gently say to you, you might be a convinced atheist, but are you a consistent atheist? See, if there's no God and there's no purpose, then all our relationships are insignificant. And we'd be perfectly right to treat everybody as if they're insignificant. But you don't do that, because deep down, you do believe your relationships are significant. And deep down, you do realize that there is something more important. You are more important than just a sack of chemicals. There is something more. There's a sense in our hearts that we all know I exist and God exists. Only the Bible explains our significance. And the second thing I want to say is this: only the Bible explains our situation. Because you might say to me, well, Pete, you've painted a really rosy picture about us ruling creation and looking after everything and everything being in harmony. But it's just not like that. Life is hard. Let me read you some other statistics. Each day, 8,500 children are infected with AIDS. Each day, 8,000 women die from AIDS. But nearly a decade ago now, in 1998, just in 1 year, 11 million children died from preventable diseases. Maybe the number has gone up since then. The 387 richest people in the world have as much wealth as the world's 2.3 billion poorest people. Staggering, isn't it? Absolutely staggering. It's not a fair world. It's not a world that's being ruled over by God perfectly, or so it seems. Things are going wrong. Pollution, corruption, murder, war, famine. I don't need to extend the list. You know that there is something wrong. What is wrong with the world? Is it just the way things are? And what I found so compelling about Christianity is that the Bible explains what is wrong with the world as well. It explains me and it explains you. You see, just look at your own life and you know that you can't always make everything work and you can't hold every family situation together and things just seem to go out of control. You work your hardest, you try your best, and things go they fall apart. They go wrong. And then you look at yourself and your own relationships and you know that there are times you've just been selfish. You've just hurt other people. You'd said something on purpose to hurt something that you shouldn't have done. I listened to an interview a couple of weeks ago. Robbie Williams has just become a father. And on the news he was saying, "This is terrifying because I'm so selfish. And I don't think I could look after a little daughter. I'm such a selfish man, I don't think I could be a father." Now, he's being very honest, but if we're honest, that is a big problem with our relationships. We're selfish. What explains that? And only the Bible, I think, consistently explains that, that we were made by a loving Creator God to know Him, for Him to be King, and we have turned away from the God who made us and loved us and said, "No, I want your gifts, I want your things, but I don't want you." That's rebellion. The Bible calls that sin. Putting ourselves before God. And because of that, we put ourselves consistently before others. Imagine a huge harvest decoration, a huge harvest display at some church service. All the schools are there. All these tins piled on top of each other. A little boy takes the tin right from the middle. The whole thing comes crashing down. You take away the most important piece, it all comes crashing down around you. And that's the world in which we live. Because we've broken our relationship with God, the world around us is crashing down. That explains what's wrong with creation, famines and disease. It explains what is wrong with us. Global financial crises, famine. The Bible explains our situation. And if you say, well, that's pretty depressing for you to come and tell me that. Well, let me make it worse for you. Let me make it worse. Because the God who is there is completely good. He's completely fair. He's completely loving. And he must punish sin. He must punish sin because it spoils his creation. And he hates sin so much that he must punish sin and sinners. And the God who is there will act righteously to put an end to all rebellion, and he will judge you and I for our sin. It's the ultimate statistic, isn't it? One out of one people die. One out of one people die. Everybody in this room will die. And according to the Bible, that means we go to meet a holy God. We're accountable to him. You may see, oh, you're just using that to scare me into believing. Well, actually, this news of judgments, of hell, shows that you're so significant to God. Your rebellion in this life is so significant, according to the Bible, that will cost you an eternity of hell without God's goodness under his judgments. And that's our situation. Rebels, victims of our sin, and also rebels. Only the Bible explains our significance. Only the Bible explains our situation. And only the Bible gives our solution. It only gives us the solution. What is the solution? We're out of favor with the loving God who made us. What can we do? Can we try and pull the wool over his eyes to try and convince him that we're better than we are, trying to pay him off somehow? How do we do it? We're not ruling the world right. It's in a mess. Our lives are in a mess. If we're honest, what do? We don't see everything subjected to God's. What is the answer? A writer in the New Testament picks up on Psalm 8 and gives us the answer. He says, at present, we don't see everything in subjection to God, but we do see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Do you know that the four words that you must say on the day of judgment that will do you any good are the same four words that you must learn when you're learning any new language? Did you know that? What are the four words that you must learn when you're learning any new language? Whatever it is, whether it's Spanish, whether it's Welsh, whatever the language is, what are the four words that you've got to learn? My friend will pay. Because wherever you are, you can just, my friend will pay. Doesn't matter what country you're in, works in every language. My friend will pay. But those are the words that will do you any good on the day of judgments. Because I can't pay for my sin. You can't pay for your sin. Only somebody else can. The Bible says that the doors of heaven are slammed shut. And one day they open, not to let anybody in, but to let one person out, the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself. He was humbled. He became a real person, a human being, fully man, fully God, lived a life without sin, perfectly loving others, perfectly loving God, and compelling, real, historical life for 33 years. At the end of his life, he died on a Roman cross. He rose from the dead. And the Bible says he is the Lord over all of creation. He is the one who on the cross paid for our sins, dying in our place. And the Christian is the one who points to Jesus and says, my friend has paid. He died in my place. He's put what is wrong right. He's ruling over my life. He is the answer. He is the solution. You see, the answer to our problems isn't more religion, isn't more ritual, isn't even more reasons. It's a relationship with a person, Jesus Christ. And we'll only really see our significance when we come face to face with him. Because when we look at Jesus, we see, yes, we're more significant because we're made by God. Our situation is more worse than we could ever imagine. But we are more loved than we ever dreamed. God so loved this world, full of people like you and me who rebelled against God, that he sent his son to die in our place. And the Bible says we find our significance by trusting him and loving him and accepting the free gift of eternal life. So let me give you, this isn't the hard sell. You've got to make your mind up on these things, but it is urgent. Let me give you a gentle nudge now. Because if these things are true, you've got to take some big steps. Some of you haven't really thought about whether God exists at all. And what I've said about the Bible explaining your significance is really important, isn't it? What is life about? Is there more? Is there a God? Will I meet him? You need to think about these things. And if coming to this Harvest Supper is the first step, that's really good. You could talk to somebody from the church. You could discuss. You could maybe come to a church service. You could think about it. Some of you don't feel very significant yourselves. You feel rubbish. You've been made to feel rubbish by somebody else. And the Bible says, well, you can know a relationship with God and find out you're more significant, more loved than you've ever realized. You need to think about that. Can I push you just gently towards doing that? All of you need to realize we're significant, but the wrong things that we've done and the wrong people that we are hugely significant. And maybe many of you haven't really thought about that. That actually there is somebody that you're accountable to, and you need to think about, well, what is the dark side of myself? The fact that there is a God who I must answer to. And that's a hard thing to think about. But if it's true, you cannot afford to ignore it. Where will I go when I die? You could talk to a Christian about that. You could reason it out. You could argue. You could think about it when you're driving the car, when you're at home. But you must think about it. But everybody here needs to realize, and this is the great thing, you're more loved than you ever dreamed. Have you ever considered Jesus Christ, really? Who he is, looked at him, looked at his life, looked at his teachings, got to grip. What is this Christian thing about anyway? In the church here soon, they're running a Christianity Explore course. It's a great way to start looking simply at a gospel and talking about, getting to grips with, who is this Jesus? Is he real? You could come to one of their church services at 10 o'clock on a Sunday. You could get one of these welcome books to find out what it's about. At least give it a shot. Because if this is a significance that is so incredible, a relationship with God that cannot be lost because of Jesus Christ, then you need to make that big step. As hard as it is, and it is hard coming to a church service, you've done well to get even here. It is hard. We realize that. But it's worth making the step to find out. But ultimately, you need to make the biggest step of all, which is to realize that Jesus Christ is real and that you need him in your life as your savior. To turn from all you've done wrong, to turn from all you think you do right, and trust in Jesus alone. You see, we're more significant than we could ever realize. Our situation is far, far worse than we've ever imagined, but we're more loved than we've ever dreamed. Thank you very much. I'm going to hand over to Tim. I'll be hanging around. Any questions, you can talk to the people that you've come with, but I'll hand over to Tim. Thank you.